You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli, as we're going to get into, the Avs defense is definitely not healthy, but it doesn't feel like they're that far from being healthy again either, right? So,
yeah, it feels like tomorrow night they could be in some trouble.
But immediately after that, yeah.
If you know, Devon Toews
and
being
Gerard
cleared
are
for
gone too, yeah.
Controlled contact, the really slow play in this one. And if Gerard is not able to go tomorrow, then there's half of your top four from a group that frankly just hasn't played well enough as a whole this entire season yet.
I don't think they've played even close to well. And if thank you for that super sticker, by the way, whoever that was. A pair character exaggeratedly stretching his arm forward to offer a cup of coffee. Cool. I don't know anything about super stickers on this platform still. Yeah. They're so weird to me.
I told you, you had to dramatically read them.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that, yeah.
I'm disappointed that...
It's been like 6 months since we've gotten a sticker. So.
It is true.
People usually just stick to normal super chats. I don't know. But yeah, so... First of all, Gerard, per Jared Bednar, has some soreness in his shoulder. Today, nothing concrete to go with that on whether he'll be available for tomorrow or what it looks like. But that one is up in the air. And then, as AJ mentioned, Devon Toews cleared for controlled contact, whatever that means.
Yeah.
He's not going to be wearing a pumpkin, probably, at least. Yeah. But
I would say he's probably getting out of that.
It's also not full cleared for contact. He's definitely going to play or anything like that either. So
also that.
Somewhere in between at the moment.
So if Gerard out, McDermott comes back in.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're rolling Curtis McDermott, Ryan Murray, and Jack Johnson.
So if Cale Makar doesn't bring his S to your game,
then
in trouble.
Well, and then you really are wondering, like, you're probably going Johnson, and then you're going Murray, McDermott, and
Kale and Bo at the top. I think do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I think Byron McCarr has to continue to be...
You're playing him 27, 28 minutes that night.
Yeah.
So, that's a big ask, for sure.
With Bo, you know, with Byram, we've really seen a good start to the season for him.
He's clearly had no trouble stepping into what they've given him so far.
Yeah. And I think that it's been an encouraging start. I was digging into some of the numbers and stuff.
Sure.
to just see
if it holds up with the eye test a little bit.
How good it's been, and it's, you know, relative to how the Avs have played, it's very good.
But actual numbers, it's just solid.
You're still looking at it, and you're saying this is good, not great.
Yeah.
And that's all good and well.
It's still
bonk bonk. Sorry, I was booping the snoot.
Look, the thing is, we're at a point with the Avs defense where, look, asking Makar to be the dude is nothing new. He did that all of last season, all
and
the time.
And he needs to. I like that everybody's telling us what controlled contact is.
We know what controlled contact is. We don't know what that means for Taves' timeline.
Yeah. I love you guys so much. you guys are so helpful. It's great. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. Like, you guys are all just quick to jump in and hook us up.
We appreciate you. Yeah.
I love you guys. We've built a cool community.
Y'all are dope.
I like this. Anyway. With Makar, though, it's more of a question of when are we going to see the A game? Because even with the 2 points in the game-winning shootout goal against Tampa Bay, you don't watch that game and think that was a Kale
Makar
game.
That was like Makar's B-minus game at best.
Yeah, that was kind of what we were expecting his baseline
on
to
his
be
average
this year.
Night, yeah.
Yeah. We were looking, and he's had just had such an awful start. That felt like a huge step forward, and we know that there's even more for him to give. Kale Makar has yet to absolutely dominate a game.
Yeah.
And it's an unfair ask because it's the NHL, but it's also something that we have seen him capable of. And not capable of in, like, remember that time Tyson Jost got a hat trick? And you're like, whoa! Where'd that come from? Not like that, where you're just like, wow, that was crazy and happened that one time. But like something that he has actually done on a regular enough basis that it does become expectation every once in a while. You're not going to say he's going to go out there and dominate every night. Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
Connor McDavid.
I mean... Fair enough. Connor McDavid does that. But with Makar, it's like you really, really want to see this year. It was the consistency question.
Yeah.
And so far, not a great.
It's been the opposite.
Yeah, not a great answer. Yeah, and, you know, there's the question of, the injuries.
Sure.
What. You know, how much is it affecting him and blah, 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 right? And sure, maybe he has a slow starter. We're early enough into his career that we get to ask that question, and it's not like when the Avs fan base became super convinced that Jerome Iginla was a slow starter, even though it was not true. If you went back and looked at his entire career,
He's
you would see that
been fine.
He was like a point per game guy through the first 3 months of the season. And it was like, what is this? And Avs fans were like, he's always a slow starter. Guess what, guys? He got old.
As people do.
Yeah. With Makar, he is still young enough. We're still learning. This might be his first full 82-game season.
He hasn't come particularly close in previous years.
So. Yeah, but I just mean the season
in
general.
2 years. In 2 years. That's true, because it was only 71 that first year.
Yeah.
But
so we'll see with Makar, but it raises the stakes. If Gerard and Taves are both out, it raises the stakes for certainly – you need one of Jack Johnson or Ryan Murray to elevate their game, because
you need better than what we've seen the last couple games.
Absolutely,
because
you're looking at those guys and saying, all right, you know, for a third pairing, they're getting by. They weren't any good against Tampa Bay.
No,
neither one of them were any good against Tampa Bay, but it was passable for a third pairing where you're just like, okay. You've got to have some horses here, and
you're talking about putting
without
one of those
that,
dudes in the top four tomorrow. Yeah.
Eric Johnson, who very, very quietly was super good against Tampa Bay. We didn't really dig too much into it, but I really like this game.
He's been quietly effective for most of the year, honestly.
Like, the Eric Johnson that we've gotten is the Eric Johnson that, one, they really needed.
Yep.
And just that stabilizing force on the defense where you've got so many young guys that are going up and down. And, you know, and without Devon Taves,
there's one less rock on the defense that way, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, and without Devon Taves, you're more susceptible to the variance. With Devon Taves, you know, especially if he can repeat some of the quality of play that he had last year,
yep,
it just changes
totally
your whole
different
dynamic. Yeah, it changes that dynamic. So with EJ, EJ, it's a real, it's a really positive sign what he's been able to do. Because, you know, after coming back from, he hasn't played very much hockey, he played four games last year, you know, there was a realistic question, like, how much does he have left in the tank?
Yep.
You know, how good is he still in the NHL? And as we're seeing, like,
he's slotted in just fine so far, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's solid.
I agreed. I have zero problems with EJ. I have zero problems with Byram in this defense right now.
It's the guys around them that have got to pick it up.
Yep.
And as a group, they've got to pick it up.
Yep. They need to be better as a whole unit. And slotting in Curtis McDermott and having Jack Johnson in your top four, not signs that they're improving.
Yeah. I mean, you're going against a 1-4 Vegas club tomorrow that is going to start. Look, they've got a lot of injuries.
Heavily injured, yeah.
They are a compromised version of themselves. But I tell you, though, that even with that being true, those guys are going to, they feel it. They're 1-4. They've got to figure this out.
They know pressure's on, yeah.
Yeah. You just cannot give away points and spend the entire regular season chasing. If you spend the entire season chasing down a playoff spot, once you get to the playoffs,
you're exhausted by that point.
You're spent. Yeah. I mean, emotionally, it can only work that, you know, for so long.
Yep.
It's important for Vegas to start to bank points, and similarly for Colorado, 1-3 start. You know,
they are their one shootout goal from being 1-3-1.
Right, and having to similarly dig themselves out here. They are also having to dig themselves out of a slow start.
Yeah,
and you look at both divisions, and you're like, oh, you know, you think long term both clubs are going to be fine.
Definitely.
This is quietly an important game for each team. And don't you think the Avs would love to put them at 1-5?
Just to
and
say
just
what's
help,
up. Say what's up, Vegas?
Help put them further behind that eight ball.
Yep.
And be like, it's a new year, but we remember.
Yep. No doubt about it. I think that would definitely be a motivating factor there. And
Vegas wants to do the exact opposite. They want to be like, oh, hey. We used you as a launch pad to the conference finals last year. We're going to use you as a launch pad to
health and
to get
our
back,
season.
Yeah,
yeah,
to get back on the right track this year.
Yeah.
So I think tomorrow is an important game for both clubs, and I think it's an important emotional component to it.
It's quietly become like this banger of a stretch of the season for the Avs,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, they got blown out by Washington, but the Florida game was fun, even if the Avs did struggle to produce in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Tampa game the other night, AJ, you and I were talking about it just before we went live. Not only was it really good in the moment, looking back on it, that was a high-end hockey game.
It lived up to what you would think Colorado and Tampa Bay should do.
Yeah.
And again, those two teams continue to play quality games.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just say, boy, sure would be a fun cup
finals. Does feel like a cup finals a little bit, doesn't it?
Sure would be a fun one.
You know, we'll get to that somewhere in the year, I have no doubt. Not on today's show. But my point being, now they have Vegas.
Animal.
Maybe. They have Vegas coming up. Another, what is supposed to be two heavy hitters in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in a hockey game that both are hungry to win.
Mm-hmm.
So
the same situation they were just in Tampa Bay.
Pretty
on
much. Yeah. Almost exactly the same.
Yeah. bigger difference being that they're in the same conference, so you don't love giving a point away. Like,
definitely.
You
don't care about the point that
There's no bad feelings about that at all.
Yeah, definitely. But it will be interesting to see. Look, you go into the start of the season, and the first 10 games, you're not expecting too much desperation from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get into these situations where the Avs are 2-3, Vegas is 1-4, and you want to see what it looks like. You want to see when these teams do get hungry, when they need a win.
When they start to respond. Yeah. Especially, like, look, especially if Gerard does not play tomorrow and they're out, Gerard and Taves. Like,
yep.
We continue to talk. These are two compromised versions of each other.
For sure. How do they manage that?
Yeah.
It's a totally fair question.
And, like, injuries affect everybody, but they've hit these two clubs early on hard.
Yep.
It's been a tough go for these two teams out of the gate because they're not playing with their 100% roster.
No doubt.
And that's just opportunity for the teams around them. And they're taking advantage of it right now. You know, you looking at the standings, St. Louis and Minnesota are out of the gates where they're looking around like, see you, nerds, come get us.
Yeah.
You know, Colorado gets both of those teams this week. Their tough schedule continues.
It does. It does get easier at the start of November, but until then, it's the Avs got to grind it every night.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting. I know for sure I will need some Breck brews during every game. So head on over to the DNVR bar. Check out the 8 different kinds we got on tap. I got an Avalanche right here. Absolutely delicious. Highly recommend you get this one. Or whatever's your flavor. They really, all of their beers are amazing. AJ's a vanilla porter guy. I know he'll get down on Strawberry Sky on occasion as well. Mm-hmm. So if AJ drinks them, you know, just about anybody can have that beer. Check them out. You can find them at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to do that. And then hit up Green Mountain Dental Group. Make sure you're taking care of your teeth. They will give you a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them. They're super convenient, just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. And they really do take care of you. They'll make sure you're all covered with reminders. They'll let you know when you need to get your next visit scheduled. They just want to look after you and make sure everything is all good with your teeth. Of course, also a good reason to come down to the bar. We got a watch party coming tomorrow. So if you want to catch the Vegas game. Look, obviously, if you got tickets to the game, go to the game. But the next best place to watch it is the DNVR bar.
Mm-hmm.
So come on down, watch it with us. I'll be here hanging out, vibing with the people. Should be a good time. And looking forward to it. Having watch parties, official watch parties, we're doing a lot of. But even nights we don't have the watch party on, game's always on here. We'll always put the audio on unless, you know, the Nuggets are playing at the same time or something. So.
And that just depends on the... That just depends.
How important each game is, whatever.
Well, it's the way that it's set up is if the Nuggets are overlapping with the Avs, whichever game comes on first gets audio.
Gets the audio.
And if they're at the same time, then it's whichever team is on the road
there
gets
you
the audio. Because there will be more people at the game for the home.
Definitely
game.
True.
So,
yep.
That's just how it's going to work.
Yep. So,
keep
your eyes posted. You know, we love to get it rocking down here. You know, I'll throw all the small things on the jukebox every chance I get.
It's true.
Come vibe, have a good time down at the DNVR bar.
I like to throw Hanson on there.
He will throw Mbop after every game, win or lose.
It's true.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo and AJ coming at you, talking about the Avs. Okay.
A hockey team of Muppets already exists. We just call them the Canucks.
Oof. Oof. You sure it's the Canucks?
Yeah.
You sure it's not Detroit?
No.
All right.
I'm not.
Okay. All right. Feels like it should be Detroit to me.
All right.
But, you know.
Well, next time you get to make the joke, then.
True. Slow on the trigger, I guess. Slow on the trigger. look, the Avs are a hockey team that we have not really seen them score their way out of trouble yet this year. Yes, yeah. The top line and Makar got going last night, two nights ago against Tampa. Yeah. But this is a team that we know is capable of putting up 5, 6, 7 goals when they're rolling. And they haven't.
Is this team capable of that?
Yes, I think
Previous teams were definitely capable of it. But is this team, with the depth that it has, the depth question marks that it has, the slow starts from Burakovsky, the injury to Nichushkin, the total, what are they getting out of anybody in their bottom six? Is this capable? Do you really feel like this team is capable of dropping six on somebody?
I think it is, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The slow start from Burakovsky.
Okay.
And while Kadri looks good, particularly the goal scoring, hasn't fully showed up yet. He got the one opening night, and that's really it from him. Mm-hmm. So, and look, you know, you're not asking everybody to be on their A game every night because that's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But if you have your first line doing their thing, they're going to provide you a couple goals, most likely.
I would say plan on an average Avalanche night, plan for the top line to score a goal.
Yeah.
And then, even strength, power play.
One way or another. Yeah.
Plan for them to get a goal.
For sure. You have some pieces that are working in the bottom six. You have JT Compher producing, and sure, maybe he's playing second left wing or whatever with Nichushkin out.
Yeah.
But you have that piece clicking. You have a fourth line that, while the finishing isn't there, the opportunities they've been producing have been very, very good. You just need to catch a night where the puck goes in for them.
Yeah.
The third line is where the mystery kind of starts to happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, we should really start referring to the third line as what it actually is.
The fourth line.
As Helm and Jost and O'Connor, or Helm and O'Connor and whoever they put in between
Rambo
them.
Santa and his bag of toys is the line I'm talking about. So
yeah, that's the line where you really don't understand what the plan is right now, what's going on. What I mean right now, is it what even is that line? Is it Ranta and Megna and Kaut is like the leftover line because Jost is with the other guys and Compher's up on your second line. Like
that's kind of where it is right now. Yeah.
And that's, look, I'm sorry, but that's a fourth line right now. Sampo Ranta hasn't done dick.
Agreed.
In 5 games. Like he's had one scoring opportunity that I can clearly recall.
Yeah.
I guess if you want to count the one where he cut to the hard to the net that one time.
Two
that I can clearly
recall. He didn't even really get a shot off on that play.
Yeah, right. But and it was like you loved the aggressiveness and you loved the move and all that, but the execution was still nowhere near.
Yeah.
He just hasn't done anything yet. And then, you know, we know what Jason Magna is and isn't. He's not getting them hurt, but he's not doing much.
You're not asking that dude to provide offense. You know what he is.
With Martin Kaut through his first couple games this year, I feel like he's been totally fine.
Yeah, but not very offensively productive.
There's not been a floor or a ceiling or anything. It's just been, I think he's done good work, and I think he's been more physically engaged than we've seen in previous NHL stints. There's plenty.
There's a lot to like.
What sucks about with Kaut is that the second power play unit
is a nightmare.
Has been so bad that it has not been able to get set up at all.
Yeah.
So we have no idea how that unit's rolling.
Yep.
We haven't gotten to see it at all.
And that's not on Kaut, but
the fact that it can't even get set up is just a problem in itself.
Yeah.
So I'm all of this just to go back and say I'm not 100% convinced that this is a team right now that can score 6 goals. I think this is a team right now that's going to have to work really hard to get to 3 every night.
I don't agree with that.
And I'm comfortable with you being wrong. And
you know, like half the time you say that it's you that's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Just so we're clear.
But the other half, I'm right. Uh-huh,
so
glass half full, my man.
All right.
I think right now, this version of the team right now, especially if there's no Girard and no Taves on defense, I think that they have to work hard. They have to play very disciplined hockey because the PK is not great right now. The power play, as we've seen, is misfiring.
And even strength,
they've half of their lineup, they're not realistically looking for offense out of it. They're just saying don't give up goals against. And so with that, that's a combination for me where I say, hey, right now, not long term, not when they're fully healthy, not when they're back into a good rhythm, But right now, I don't think that this is a team that's going to drop six on somebody. I think that this is a three-goal team where it's they can get to three. They might sneak an empty netter. They might get a freebie. They might get a little lucky and get to four. But other than that, I think they need to be trying to win 3-2.
This
is the version of the team that needs Darcy Kuemper to be a beast.
I agree that Darcy Kuemper needs to be good for this team, but even as it's built right now, I don't think this team should really struggle to get the three goals regularly. I think they're fully capable of that when you have the top line. When you throw in, yes, their defense is shorthanded, but they still have Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm.
If Bowen Byram's going to continue to play like this, he's going to be effective for you on both ends of the ice.
Okay.
That's enough. You get reasonably quality play out of Kadri and Burakovsky on top of that, you should be getting to three.
I don't think that's enough. On from night to night, I don't think that's enough.
I will grant you the power play needs to be better.
I don't think there's any argument that special teams in general has got to raise their level of play.
That I have no argument against.
Especially while their 5v5 work continues to be such a
chaotic
work
mess.
A work in progress for some of the lines where, you know, you are looking at a Ranta and a Kaut and you're like,
yeah,
you got to have something here, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it. Mikhail Maltsev, we didn't bring him up because he got sent down.
Before the game was even over,
he got sent down immediately.
Yeah,
do you think that was a bit of a quick hook?
Was it aggressive? Yes. Did his play earn it? Kind of. So I'm not super against it. And look, Partis is probably my bias that it was him and not Kaut. So I'm like, let's go, Martin Kaut opportunity, but.
Well, one of those guys had a nightmarish game.
Yeah, right.
Where two goals were directly created.
He actively
off of
turned
place.
A puck over behind his own net that yeah. resulted in a goal, and it's like you just can't do that.
Yeah,
but I think part of my other problem with Maltsev's few games that he's gotten so far is there. You talk about Kaut and Ranta, and where's the offense? It's not like Maltsev has really brought the offense either.
True. Well, and this is kind of why I'm like not convinced that they can drop six on anybody.
But I said that line is the problem.
Unless all the other guys just absolutely go off on the same night, which, you know, like even bad teams have those big nights for sure. But it's right now. I just think that there are too many gaping holes in the lineup. And with Maltsev, you know, I do understand where they were coming from. It was a nightmare of a game.
Yep.
And just legitimately a nightmare of a game.
I don't really have a problem with it. It was very aggressive, though.
It was, I mean, to not even wait until they got
landed.
Home,
yeah.
I mean, my goodness. It was definitely, and it's not like the Eagles are at home and
right. You're not trying to get him into a game or
well,
something.
Well, and it's not like they were saving any kind of cap space to do it. Like there wasn't any need for them to be that quick about it. They were just sending
the
message.
The only reason you're doing that is to send a message. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So. And
although I will say, look, I do think it's a good thing for a guy like Martin Kaut. And it does bode well for Sampo Ranta continuing to get looks. Like, we've been railing against Ranta, and, like, we don't get it. But also, isn't this what we have been arguing for years for young players? Give them a legitimate opportunity. But when you are five games in, I think now there is, you know, the first couple games, you're like, well, it's been three games. Like, he's a rookie, you know? At this point, though, there needs to be...
Well...
You could easily swap out Alex Newhook for Sampo Ranta and give another guy five games.
Wouldn't mind that, but...
And that's where I think that there needs to start to be some... There needs to be urgency from Sampo. Start showing steps forward here.
And I agree. If we get to game nine and Sampo still hasn't done anything offensively, it just can't continue, right?
Yeah.
With a guy like Newhook down the line.
You say game nine, but for the record, just so people don't get it twisted.
It is not a contract. His contract
thing.
Is running either
yeah,
way.
That it is not. Just, he did not draw the nine game limit because of that. It's just we're
that's
almost
a good
there.
Number for it anyway.
Yeah,
because
it's four more games and yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify.
I'll call it 10 games just to
yeah.
Make it obvious,
the ELC is totally or it's going. It doesn't, the ELC actually doesn't really matter for any of these guys.
There is no one that they can save an ELC on this year, I believe. Unless they do something crazy like use Foodie or something.
That's what I was going to say. I think Foodie would be the only slide candidate. And I'd have to double check that.
I'm pretty sure he slides, but I'm not 100%. Anyway, not the point I'm trying to make here. The point I'm trying to make is, yes, you need to see more out of Sampo, but at the same time, he hasn't turned a puck over behind his own net that results in a goal either.
Right.
So it's not like he had the disaster game.
Definitely. He hasn't made the big mistakes, and he had the one penalty, though.
Yep.
And
that
like
did result in a goal, to be fair.
It was one.
Yep.
The only problem was that it came way too soon after the four penalty game in the preseason. We were like, is this going to be a problem? And it hasn't been.
Yeah.
And so that's been good. I guess if we're looking for improvement, there it is. Credit for him there. He stopped going in the box every night. So that has been good.
Yeah, it has.
But there needs to be some sustained offensive pressure there.
Yep.
And Jost needs to stay. Like, I love Tyson Jost, but we're seeing the ceiling here. That guy needs to stay between Helm and O'Connor.
Yep.
That's where he's working. And get what in a lineup where you have so many problems, so many question marks. If you've got something that works,
don't
you
mess with
just
it.
Just stick with it.
Yep.
You got a top line and you have a third line that's working. Let them roll.
It seems so easy to drop Newhook in there over a Megna even.
Yeah, I would agree.
Are you really gonna
roll in the NHL a line of Aranta, Newhook, and Kout?
I mean, am I? Absolutely. Are the Avs? No, probably not.
You know what you're getting with Sherwood though, and it's just it also isn't good.
Not good like, enough. Certainly.
You're gonna get a game or two where he's a battering ram and he goes in and he hits stuff and he'll get three shots on goal and he won't score and you'll okay, great. Like that was more and then he'll fall off the cliff and you'll be right back to it.
He's the dude who you play for one game, you go to your regulars and say, I need you to play like that.
Yeah.
And then you send him back.
Yep.
It's the vice of quadruple A players is you can get a little jump out of them for a game or two, but they just can't sustain a long-term NHL lineup spot.
Yeah.
So
a quadruple A player.
Is that not what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Who knows? I never know what I'm saying at this point anymore.
No, I was...
Words just come out of my mouth.
I was just agreeing with you.
I know. But I wasn't sure because I didn't know what I said.
Nope, you're right.
Anyway, the Avs are in a weird spot right now. As we said, the schedule does not really get easier for them in the immediate.
Yeah. This week, anyway. I mean, it doesn't get easier this week.
Yeah. If they come...
The Vegas, St. Louis, and Minnesota is a tough slate now.
And you're in two completely different universes. If they come out of this week 2-6, alarms are sounding.
Yeah.
But if they come out of this week 4-4 or better, fine. You're chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah, if they come out 2-6, you have a real bad problem.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if you win two of the three, you feel good.
Yeah, that's 4-4. You're feeling pretty okay. Even at 3-5, you don't feel great about it, but you're moving, okay.
You're moving forward. Yeah. Like your points are nice.
Yep. And it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out as they get into November. Because like we said, look, Taves could be back whenever they want. He could be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or if he's not back tomorrow, you don't expect it to be too long. But you get into November and you start seeing Nichushkin come back. You start seeing at what point can Frankie go. How important is a little bit more flexibility for the Avs right now?
Really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like they, like I said, you when you're looking for answers in a lineup that has a lot of questions, you've got to go with what works. And that locks you into your top line.
Yeah.
That locks you into Helm, Jost, O'Connor. It should lock you into Helm, Jost, O'Connor. I think that's where if you get a Nichushkin back, he can answer that question on your second line next to Kadri and Burakovsky. Where if Confer is going to continue to be, I want to say engaged. I don't ever like saying playing well because I feel like that just gets me into internet fights.
Should I say effective?
Yeah, if he continues to score, because that's where he's effective is scoring.
Yep.
He's getting he gets caved in and shot metrics
but
and
you,
stuff.
You knew that was going to happen. Yeah.
And like he's not, you know, there's it's with Confer. Confer is one of the great examples in the NHL of bad analytics but effective NHL player.
We have this conversation every year, but you have to look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
You can't just be the eye test. It can't just be analytics.
Yeah.
It can't just be, oh, look at this really good stat or this really bad stat. You have to look at the full picture of a hockey player.
You can't just look at him scoring 35 points and say, well, he scored 35 points. He's fine. But you also can't look at his wowies and say, oh, well, he makes every line he's on worse.
Yeah.
And say he's a bad player.
Right.
Because he's the same. He got to both of those spaces being the same guy.
Right.
And it's
more complicated than that.
He's an effective NHL player.
Yep.
And you know that makes him tough in this year's lineup. It makes it tough because he's really important to their success.
Yeah.
Last year's lineup, if he was playing better, that was just aces for a really deep forward group.
Gravy for sure.
Yeah. This is tough though. When he's as important as he is this year, you know, getting a Nichushkin back like that would really help them.
It would.
How badly do they miss him? Especially, you notice how important he is defensively.
Yeah,
that he stabilizes the line that he's on so much that without him, it's been problematic. The team defense hasn't been as good, and part of that is because Nichushkin is no longer the rock on the line that he's on.
You know, it's funny against the Tampa game because I actually like the number of the forwards that played defense for the Avs in that game, specifically because they were playing YOLO defense. They were playing, I'm going all in at the blue line and poking the puck off this guy's stick repeatedly. And it worked. It worked. But that's not going to work every night.
Yeah.
That's where someone like Nichushkin can help you because he's not going to create a ton of odd man rushes with his defense, but he's going to just shut other teams down.
Yeah.
And it creates a suffocating style of defense that it's hard to play against. It's the type of defense that teams get frustrated against.
Yeah. And he's so good with puck retrieval in particular. He's so good at puck retrieval that when loose pucks are in the defensive zone, that guy goes in and he comes out.
Come out with it. Yeah.
You know, in transition and all, in anything when it comes on, when it's on a stick.
Different story, but
is still in flux with him in his career, but definitely a piece that they're really, really missing right now. And maybe it's good that they got this look so that they could really get an idea of how important he is to this year's team.
Understand what it's going to look like going forward a little bit. Yeah. I got that. I feel that a little bit. All right. Well, now we got to talk about Avs need to add a little bit of meat to their lineup, right?
Yes.
So maybe you need to add a little bit of meat to your dinner. And that's where Hassel Cattle Company comes in handy, all right?
Yes.
Whether you can get the Wagyu beef burger down here at the bar, which is absolutely delicious, you can also order directly to your home, not just burgers, but steaks, whether it be their sirloin, their ribeye, their tomahawk steak. They got all sorts of meat. It's all absolutely delicious. You really cannot go wrong with it. Cook it medium rare or less, please. Don't be Dario. That's all I'm saying. You can get 10% off when you use code DNVR10.
Dario just... He's one burger in front of us, and we're never going to let
taking
him live
stray bullets forever. Taking stray bullets forever from now on. 10% off with code DNVR10. If you get $200 or more, you get free shipping as well. Then, you know, look, sometimes you want it to take extra good, so you want to give yourself the munchies before you go in on it. That's what Solace Meds is for. You can get them at solacemeds.com, solacemeds.com. Use code DNVR20 to get 20% off your entire purchase. Or go in-store, select products ranging from 15 to 25% off. They have 4 locations in Colorado, including one up in Fort Collins. So they got you covered if you're in the I-25 corridor. Go find it. Go get in there. Go get your cannabis needs. You got it. Yeah. You made that bed, not us, bud. All right. Check out Solace Meds. They're great. I really do love their pickup service because I always feel super awkward being in there. So I just order it, pick it up, and get out of there. Makes my life a whole hell of a lot easier. And, of course, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook app out there. They got you covered for all the bets you could possibly imagine. AJ needs to work on his F1 betting game a little bit.
Needs yesterday, to improve. Yesterday I went with bad bets but good odds.
Yeah.
And that was where I...
You went wrong.
Well, and like... I would not have gotten the retirements right, even had I picked a team, because I would have picked Haas or Williams.
And you ended up with Alpine being the double retirement.
I would not have picked Pierre Gasly as the one to go down, right? So I would not have gotten that right anyway.
For sure.
It was foolhardy for me to go with none, though. But it was just, the odds were just so good. I was like,
And this is where I think DraftKings gets really interesting, is you can turn bad odds into good odds when you take some bad odds bets and put them all into a same game parlay.
Dude, do we want to talk about this now?
If you want to go for it, I say go for it.
So one of the things that we're going to start doing is, everybody knows the NHL plays every Saturday. Yeah, that's their
pretty
big
much
day.
Every team plays every Saturday.
Yeah, that's their big day of the week. And so we wanted to do something fun.
Yeah.
And we wanted to start putting together
the Super Saturday slate.
Yeah,
I think that's
what we were going to call it, was the Super Saturday slate. Where we put down money on a parlay for every game
in the NHL.
In the NHL that Saturday, and we pick the games.
Pick winners for every game.
And try and turn $3 into $500.
Because you're going to get insane odds. So keep your eyes out for that.
Yeah,
play along with us.
I think that's gonna be something that's fun for us to do. That's silly, and it's just like, long shot bet. We'll see how this goes. Yeah.
And you throw in $25, you put $1 on that every week, and that's the entire NHL season.
Yeah,
where you're
there. You go.
You're spending $1 a week for a long shot to win like $500 or something.
Yeah, straight up. It's going to be a good time. I'm actually really excited for us to start doing it, because it's going to be...
Yeah. Maybe
there's one Saturday where we're at the bar and it hits and it's just like, oh my gosh.
The Avs play the early game. You find out all your bets have hit after the pod. And we're sitting there watching like Detroit versus Ottawa, losing our minds.
That's the one where you're just like, oh my god, it's the last game.
Yeah.
And it's LA Vancouver.
Oh god.
And you're into overtime and you're just like 3v3 and you're a mess. Like, come on, whichever team you pick. Yeah, so we think that'll be a really fun thing that we start to do.
Yeah. Keep your eyes out for that. We're looking forward to that. We have a bunch of other content that we can't spoil yet coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a fun time. That's all I'm saying.
Some of the new content will get created by some of the new people who are coming on board to help us
indeed.
Help us out, because we've made a couple of hires and we've added a couple of folks to the Av squad. And in the next week, we'll be unveiling.
Should be fun. Looking forward to it. Third period of this DNBR Avalanche podcast. I've seen a billion comments about this on the last couple of shows, so we got to talk about it. Is Oscar Olausson the best player in the OHL right now?
No, because Shane Wright is in the OHL.
I know.
So, no.
But he's close.
But also, that's the kind of start that
you wanted. Exactly what you wanted.
Like, well, when we had talked about, look, once you saw him really pop in those NHL preseason games, it was like, oh man, this is the good side. We saw the bad stuff.
Yep.
So we saw all the stuff that needed work and all the stuff that needed, you know, hey, there's a long way to go here.
The rough edges.
Yeah. And then you saw the good things that got him drafted in the first round, and you were like, look, man, the Avs,
there's NHL talent there. Yeah.
I'm not going to say they were right about this one, but they definitely did a good job picking out, hey, this guy has got these skills that they really like.
Can you build a hockey player around
right.
him?
Right. Can they get a guy out of him?
Yeah.
And I think the excitement, obviously, we saw him beating decent goaltenders with that shot in the preseason.
Yep. And now he's just ripping up kids.
Right. Now he's in the OHL against goalies that don't know what to do. And he's going off. And it's really, really encouraging. I've seen some people be like, oh, bring him up to the NHL and let him get his nine game.
He's not close.
Not there, fam.
He's not close. One of the most encouraging things for me has been his strength on the puck in open ice.
Mm-hmm.
He still does not understand how big and strong he is along the boards, and that is something that has to improve. But in open ice with the puck on his stick, there's enough there. I think he understands that he can be strong on the puck.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he's a giant human being playing against kids. He's a kid, too.
This is where it's going to help him, though, where he's going to get that confidence being more physical in the much more physical North America.
Yep.
Where, you know, the puck battles behind the net are really important.
Yep.
And really common, whereas in Europe, because there's so much room back there specifically, that's an area that he doesn't, you know, he never really got too involved in.
For sure.
And getting some confidence beating up on some kids is going to be good for him.
Going to help.
Because he's also a kid himself who's still getting bigger and stronger. So even as he finds confidence, he's going to be adding that weight. He's going to be adding some of that strength over time. It needs to continue. And you know, the goals are great, but he was always going to be good at that.
You knew that already. Yeah.
He needs to really, you know, as Dario has on the comment on the screen here, he needs to round out the other parts of his game. His playmaking has just got to get better. He's got to get even what you liked in the NHL games. There was very, very little of him using his teammates effectively with the puck.
And Olausen is the opposite of Jamie McGinn. All right. McGinn had a clock on him where he felt like at a certain point he just couldn't have the puck anymore.
2.8 seconds, and I got to get rid of it.
Olausen, there is no clock. Never. There's never a moment where Olausen thinks he shouldn't have the puck anymore.
Yeah.
He will literally skate with it until he shoots it or he loses it.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure that out. He's got to understand that most of the time the effective play is you getting rid of the puck.
You utilizing teammates is going to make him a lot more dangerous overall.
Yep.
Play without the puck has got to pick up in general.
Yep.
Just the physicality and all that stuff, but just understanding the game around him and how to put himself into good positions, what those positions are, and how to play without the puck on a stick.
For sure. And
there's some of that offensively that he's already pretty good at. He understands how to slide into the soft spot of his zone and put himself in a good shooting position.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really do much else. Like he doesn't put himself in a position where he can help, you know, oh, I can draw a defender away here, I can draw a defender there, you know. And he just kind of stands around.
Yep.
If he's put himself in a good shooting spot, he'll stay there.
Yeah. He gets real comfy real fast.
Yeah.
Defensive side, kind of the same stuff too. And you know, some of this is him just adjusting to the North American game. So we'll see.
Yeah.
In a month or two, how much he's settled in. But from box score and highlight scouting, dude looks fire.
Yeah.
From his whole game, still a long way to go.
Yeah. Plenty of reasons for optimism there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been a fun start to the season for a lot of Avs prospects, actually. And by the way, go check out the prospect portfolio if you want to catch some highlights of people. But
yeah, I mean, Sean Behrens is off to a good start at DU. He's been as advertised.
Yep.
He's a small guy who's got good skills and a really aggressive mindset that helps him overcome the fact that he's 5'10".
Yep.
Like a legit 5'10".
Yeah. He's kind of small, but
yeah, and you know, we'll see.
It doesn't hurt that he's playing on DU, which is a monster offensively.
The great part about him, his role with the Pios, though, is that they've given him a lot of responsibility.
The opportunity, sure.
Yeah, this is not Nate Klerman, Nikki Lieberman at Notre Dame, slowly incorporate them into things.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Behrens is top pairing day one. Let's go.
Yep.
And he's rewarded them with good play so far.
Stepped right into it, no problem. So.
Yeah. It's been encouraging for him so far.
For a YOLO 2021 draft, early returns are pretty good so far for the Cavs.
You know, Bulyalski hasn't done anything at Vermont yet. I haven't seen McCarr do anything at UMass yet. But
McCarr's like not even a lineup regular.
Yeah, McCarr is going to be that's a 4-year play.
Yep.
That is one where anything that happens in his freshman year, you're good.
Yep, exactly. So.
But yeah, those guys are off to a good start. The other guy that really we've talked a lot about in the portfolio and like a little bit on Twitter, really important guy in the future is Drew Helison.
Yep. It's we're seeing what I want to see out of Drew Helison this year, and what I've seen so far, early days, of course, is he's starting to make the NCAA look routine for himself. Like, it's not anything special for him to be a monster defensively and
to play a true shutdown role where he just erases his half of the ice defensively.
Exactly. And contribute offensively where he can as well.
Yeah. The recognition, the speed of the game, all of it looks like he's very comfortable in the college game now.
Yep.
It looks like by the end of this year, he will be
signed that contract and
very comfortable moving on from that level.
Yep.
And then where he fits into Colorado will be somewhat determined by where the Avs are. But I think it'll be interesting to see how aggressively they decide to promote him and play him, because you could make an argument, especially if there's an injury or two.
Stylistically, certainly. Yeah.
That as a defensive defenseman who can move a puck a little bit, I mean, you put him next to a Ryan Murray on a third pairing, you know, and maybe you don't need...
Give a little more freedom there, yeah.
You're not looking at Jack Johnson and what he brings and saying, well, we don't have anybody else that can do that. You know, you bring Drew Helison, who, you know... The guy eats glass for breakfast. You know, like, he's a tough son of a bitch, and he's mean.
And
he's right-handed, and that gives you a...
The 1-2-3 on the right side.
Johnson, yeah. And then Helison, and then on the left, you know, you've got...
Byram G and Taves.
And
on
Taves.
If you're fully healthy.
Right, yeah. And that's where you're like, oh, man, you could definitely put one of these guys with him.
Yep.
And...
I mean, like any of those work, you want a super shutdown pairing, you throw him with Taves.
Yeah.
You want a little bit more puck-moving ability, you throw him with Girard.
Mm-hmm.
You want, honestly, a line that I think people would absolutely hate to play against, you throw him with Byram.
Yeah. The thing is, I think Byram's going to be with Makar this year, I think that's where we're headed.
I wouldn't change it based on what we've seen so far, that's for sure.
I think that's where we're headed, and I think that's where... I mean, that's where the question of what do you do with Sam Girard becomes a real thing, because Taves, Taves with Johnson?
Sure, you can.
Immediately, I think Taves on your third pairing, you're totally fine with this. He works his way into it.
Totally.
But I mean, oh my gosh.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Too many good defensemen, but... Yeah, and
that's where Girard becomes the guy that you trade for Jack Eichel.
Oh God, here we go. back, not even going to acknowledge that and move back to our original point. The thing with Helison is the Avs have a ton of flexibility, because the only defenseman they're really developing in the AHL right now is Justin Barron.
Yeah,
they have the rest of their defense where they can play Helison wherever they want.
Yeah.
And even Nathan Klerman's with Utah now, so.
And it's interesting, because then you look at, all right, your top prospects, assuming Zhuravlov does not come over from Russia and that Behrens plays a couple more years in college.
Yep.
you...
Two very different guys in Vaynerchuk and Helison.
Yeah, and then now you're right side. Is their development the reason that you can let EJ go at the end of his contract?
Yeah.
Fair. Or do you bring an EJ back on a, obviously...
cheap 1 year, whatever.
Well, and where you're like, okay, because if EJ is going to play the way that he has this year, somebody's going to give him $4 million.
Right.
You know, like that's...
And you let someone else deal with that aging curve.
Right, but I mean, is that then your long-term right side is Barron and Helison and Makar?
And, you know, maybe that's
you're
just
fine. You're
not
sitting around talking about a small Avalanche defense
right,
anymore.
For sure. So, a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah. It's certainly interesting that development looks like it's going well, you know, for Helison. And, you know, even Barron in the AHL so far this year has looked solid.
And I mentioned it in the prospect portfolio, but yes, the Avs have had some extremely high defensive picks in Makar and Byram.
Yeah.
But when you look at Connor Timmins, when you look at Drew
Helison...
By the Helison,
way, he's off to a good start in Arizona. Yeah.
When you look at Drew Helison and Justin Barron on the way... Maybe, you know, you even go down the line with someone like Sean Barron's coming too.
Mm-hmm.
The Avs could be turning into a powerhouse when it comes to drafting defensemen.
There's certainly a team that looks like it's getting more comfortable with understanding how to identify traits that they prefer.
Yeah.
And getting NHL guys out of them.
Yep.
Because it's not that what they're doing is going to apply to every team.
Of course not.
You know, like if they of all these prospects were in Dallas's system, you'd be like
a little awkward.
So
fit.
This is
going
to be interesting because they're going to play extreme defense. Yeah.
Are they really going to reshape the way they want to play?
They're
hockey,
They're not going to be ultra. Like that's not a group that's going to play that ultra physical defense first style.
You'd be hype on Helison, but everybody else.
Yeah, right. Like Helison would be your top guy there. Yeah. You know, where you're like, oh, look at this guy.
Yeah.
So anyway. It's a really interesting, you know, on a day like today where we're kind of in between things, those guys are off to good starts this year. We wanted to give them just some
props them up a little bit.
Yeah. Some talk and hopefully we're going to be getting some very specific, Eagles focused.
A couple of things here and there.
Yeah. Some Eagles things that we would like to start doing on a regular basis. We're hoping that comes to fruition and you know, our relationship with them
continues to be a good one. Yeah.
Continues to be solid and we get some cool stuff from them. So I'm be really excited about that and hopefully you know,
keep it.
Yeah, hopefully the Eagles start getting a few saves here and there, cuz right now their goaltending's been rough.
And then it's been rough, for sure.
It's been a tough adjustment.
But, you know, season's young. Plenty of time to go yet.
Yeah, not giving up on anybody.
No. That'd be nonsense.
If I've ever given up on anything or anybody come October, what is it, the 24th or 5th right now? Like, just punch me in the face.
I don't know. You maybe give up on Shmakov that early, only because I was convinced he's not a real human being.
Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're giving up on a fake person. it's like giving up on your fantasy team 2 weeks in. It's not real. Who cares?
He still hasn't traded Makar yet, by the way. Get your offers in.
It's true. I actually am going to... I'm going to do this right now.
You're pulling the trigger. He's pulling the trigger live on the show.
Let's do this right now.
About to make the trade happen.
I'm going to send the proposal to see how...
See what you can get.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while AJ sends his proposal, that's going to pretty much wrap up the show. We got the Avs game tomorrow night. I'll be live here from the post game alongside Blaze and somebody else. AJ's going to be working the game.
Yeah, so. I'll be at the game. No, tomorrow we're supposed to have Jesse fill in for Evan.
We're having Jesse because Evan just gets to take a trip to Mexico.
Evan's wife surprised him with an impromptu trip to Mexico, so we had to impromptu ask Jesse to come down and help us on the post-game pod tomorrow.
Come say hi to an old friend of the show on tomorrow's post-game. Should be a fun one. Looking forward to it. Hope to see you all there. Until next time. We will talk to you all. later.